Chapter 16, Building Your Feedback Repertoire. To get started with the High Performance Instructional Leadership Model, you won't initially need to record or provide written feedback. Just get into classrooms, pay attention, and talk with teachers. However, when you finish your second cycle of visits, you'll be ready to begin capturing accurate documentation so you can have richer, more evidence-based conversations with each teacher. In this chapter, we explore how to expand and capitalize on the rich, nuanced vocabulary you use to talk about practice with teachers. Over time, you will want to increase your ability to artfully carry on these conversations face-to-face and even supplement them with email when appropriate given the topic and your relationship with the teacher. Written discussion gives both you and the teacher more time and space to delve into deeper issues, which may not happen in a quick chat between classes. Written feedback will also become much more important as you begin to prepare formal documents, such as observation reports and final evaluations. Thus, here we take a deeper look at writing high-quality feedback, learning the vocabulary of your curriculum, keeping your feedback repertoire accessible, structuring your thinking with templates, building trust, noticing and documenting what matters most, and using your feedback repertoire in conversation. Write high-quality feedback. If you find it challenging and time-consuming to write high-quality feedback, you're not alone. Writing high-quality feedback is cognitively demanding because it requires that you both pay attention to the most salient issues from the classroom and that you find precisely the right words to help advance teachers' thinking and practice, without doing all the thinking for them. There are no shortcuts to doing this intellectual work, but the strategies that follow will allow you to get far more mileage out of the writing you produce. The key is to build a repertoire of carefully crafted language that you can use over and over again whenever it's appropriate. Some instructional leaders feel an obligation to write all of their feedback from scratch, but you shouldn't feel bad if you use the same words and phrases over and over again. In fact, you should embrace reuse, squeeze every drop of utility from every phrase you craft. When you're talking about something specific that you see over and over again, it's natural that you'll return to certain language that you've used in the past. Anytime you've already crafted just the right phrases for a particular situation, especially those that link especially well to your instructional framework, reuse them with pride. For example, if you often notice teachers skillfully redirecting students who are off task, you might look at Danielson's 2007 framework and notice under Domain 2, Component D, Managing Student Behavior, the phrase, quote, "Teacher monitoring of student behavior is subtle and preventive," end quote, in the Distinguished column. If you draw on this language in a written, formal observation summary, you might craft a sentence such as, "Mr. Smith skillfully redirects students who are off task using subtle strategies that do not disrupt the rest of the class, and he relies on preventive strategies such as eye contact and proximity to help easily distracted students stay focused." For example, crafting such a sentence can be difficult and time-consuming, but since the evidence that follows will link this statement to Mr. Smith's specific actions, this sentence can be reused with other teachers. Simply include relevant, specific evidence, and you can honor each teacher's practice without having to write everything from scratch. Learn the vocabulary of your curriculum. When you provide written feedback, strive to use the precise language of your curriculum and other aspects of your instructional framework. Remember, your framework is more than just your evaluation document, which may be too broad to address the finer points of each specific subject area. Look to other shared sources of professional language, including your curriculum, shared instructional practices, and other professional literature for words and phrases to use in your feedback. This vocabulary can become quite extensive. The more you participate with teachers in their subject area professional development, the more you'll be able to speak the precise language of their discipline. When I was a new principal, I had no experience as an elementary literacy teacher. My background was in secondary science, so the teaching of reading and writing was far outside my areas of expertise. Knowing that I'd need to understand literacy instruction in order to lead my school effectively, I participated alongside teachers in all of the training in our new reading and writing curriculum. Because our school spanned 6 grade levels, I wasn't able to sit in on every session or master every nuance of each grade's curriculum, but I was able to pick up on most of the professional vocabulary and core structures of this curriculum. I also obtained a copy of the teacher's guide for each grade level, so I'd have a reference on hand if I wanted to understand more about the design of a particular unit. As I visited classrooms, I would sometimes review the teacher's guide to understand the context of the lesson within a larger unit, and on many occasions, this knowledge stopped me from giving unhelpful feedback, such as suggesting changes that wouldn't make sense within the scope and sequence of the curriculum. Too often, when we give low-quality feedback, it's because we don't know enough about the curriculum teachers are using. To overcome this problem, attend as much content area professional development as you can, review the teacher's guides, and delve into the standards with teachers. Keep your feedback repertoire accessible with a phrase database. When studying a new language, say to prepare for an international trip, it's essential to learn how to actually put sentences together and not just memorize individual words. We must know the grammar and syntax of any language we hope to use effectively. But recalling both the words and the most common constructions can present a significant challenge. Native speakers of a language develop a vocabulary in the tens of thousands of words, and while we may not face quite so great a challenge in mastering the language we use to talk about instruction, it's still tough. But you don't have to rely on your memory alone to master the language of instructional leadership. You can rely on reference documents and technology, especially for written feedback. And the more you do, the more you'll have the right words at your disposal when you're having face-to-face conversations with teachers. Teacher observation apps such as Repertoire, www.principalcenter.com/repertoire, and TeachBoost, www.teachboost.com, can help you develop and manage your professional vocabulary. These web-based apps allow you to import or build databases of criteria and phrases or snippets that you can reference while writing. If you're writing an observation report for a teacher who, like Mr. Smith in the example earlier in this chapter, skillfully and subtly redirects students who are off task, you can search the app for the phrase off task, and anything you've written previously using that phrase will appear in the search results. You can then insert this phrase into the current observation report with a single click. You can also save language from your instructional framework in this database. For example, if you've imported the text of Danielson's 2007 framework, a search for the phrase classroom management would return several results from Domain 2, Classroom Management, Component C, Managing Classroom Procedures. Then, if you need to craft a new statement to fit the situation, you can refer to these criteria as you write, and you can save the new phrase for future reuse. Over time, using a phrase database helps you in two ways. First, it greatly speeds up the writing process by allowing you to quickly reuse phrases and sentences from your ever-growing language bank. Second, the ability to find and refer to both instructional framework language and your previous writing helps you write with greater precision in each new situation. For example, if you're writing about a teacher's use of subtle redirection with an off-task student, referring to your phrase database may lead you to realize that the teacher is also using preventive strategies, which you may not have noticed in the moment. Developing a sharper eye will help you have more substantive and impactful conversations with teachers. Structure your thinking with templates. Even with a vast repertoire of phrases at your fingertips, you may find that structure is the most challenging aspect of writing high-quality feedback. If so, you may find it helpful to create a few templates to pre-structure your thinking for various situations. Templates differ from checklists or forms in that they're a tool for planning your writing, not a way to replace or minimize it. When you're finished filling out a form, it still looks like a form. But when you've successfully used a well-designed template, it looks like any other piece of writing, as if you've written it from scratch. A template can give an overall structure to your comments. For example, if you have a standard salutation, a few sentence starters such as "I noticed," "students were," "you were," and "I'm wondering," and a standard closing, you'll have a flexible, solid structure you can use to recap any lesson. Simply fill in specific evidence and questions. For example, you might follow this structure to quickly write an email as follows. "Dear Mr. Smith, it was great to see your students at work today during fourth period earth science. Salutation. I noticed that students were working diligently on their lab reports and you were circulating to keep everyone on track. I noticed, students were, you were. When Dylan put his pencil down and seemed to be daydreaming, you didn't call attention to him, but subtly moved closer and made eye contact to remind him to get back on task. Evidence. I'm wondering what other strategies you're finding to be effective in helping him stay on task. Question. Could we catch up during your sixth period prep or after school? Justin. Closing. As you can see in this example, this template could easily be reused for another teacher or another visit to the same teacher with different evidence and questions filling in the blanks. To the teacher, it reads like a normally composed email, but it's much faster to write because of the predetermined format. Another example of a flexible, powerful template is John Safier's Claim, Evidence, Interpretation, and Judgment, CEIJ, format, Safier 1993, which is useful for writing final evaluations, see Chapter 17, page 158. The 10 questions for evidence-based feedback in Chapter 12, page 105, can also serve as templates for written feedback. While templates contain general-purpose structures rather than specific language, they can also be saved in your phrase database to speed up your writing. Build trust with consistency, not canned feedback. You may be worried that using templates and having a go-to repertoire of words and phrases will result in multiple teachers getting feedback containing the same language. That's not a bad thing. If the situations you're describing are similar, your comments should be similar. Consistency will build trust when teachers compare notes, as long as your comments don't appear canned. Your writing won't appear canned if it addresses the teacher and the situation specifically. Strive to match your comments to the precise situation and continually broaden your repertoire so you can be as specific as possible. The best way to avoid a canned feeling in your writing is to phrase your feedback in second person so you're addressing the teacher directly rather than talking about the teacher as if to a third party. This will help you avoid the stilted tone of your evaluation framework and help your writing come across more conversationally. For example, "the teacher selected a clear objective for the lesson" sounds more canned than "you selected a clear objective for the lesson." Final evaluations may require you to write in third-person language, but since your feedback is directed toward the teacher, you should write it in second-person to the teacher. Another way instructional leaders fall into the trap of canned feedback is to use a phrase that isn't quite right for the situation. It's fully appropriate to reuse your writing when it fits well, but if it's not quite right, customize it. Don't describe two lessons that aren't the same as if they are. For example, if another teacher, Mr. Jones, redirects an off-task student but does so in a humorous rather than a subtle and preventive way, don't try to reuse what you wrote for Mr. Smith. Craft a new statement or modify an existing statement until it fits the evidence. Notice and document what matters most. When you're taking verbatim, transcript-style notes during a classroom observation, formal or informal, they should include only factual descriptions of what you observed, not your own interpretations or judgments. You'll share these notes with the teacher and have a conversation about what you noticed, so there's no need to include questions, suggestions, or ratings in the notes. Your goal while observing in the classroom is to document, not to evaluate. But that doesn't mean your instructional framework plays no role while you're in the classroom. When you're observing a lesson, your instructional framework plays a critical role in helping you notice what matters most. A classroom full of students is an enormously complex environment, one that even a dozen video cameras couldn't fully capture. Your ability to notice is your most essential skill as an observer, and this ability drives mainly from your knowledge of your instructional framework. Without a deep knowledge of your instructional framework, you'll tend to focus on what the teacher is doing and what the teacher wants you to focus on, or perhaps what the worst behaving students are doing, and you'll miss the nuances of the classroom that can serve as the best grist for discussion and growth. For example, if your instructional framework specifies that the best classroom discussions involve students asking questions and responding to one another's comments, not just answering the teacher's questions, you'll know to focus on the teacher's facilitation strategies, not just the quality of the teacher's questions. As you capture what's taking place in the classroom, allow your instructional framework to guide you to document the most salient events and comments. You can't document everything, even during whole group instruction, so focus your notes on what you plan to discuss with the teacher so you have ample evidence. Use your feedback repertoire in conversation. As you develop a larger and larger repertoire of feedback words and phrases, you'll find it easier and less awkward to use the specific terminology of your instructional framework in conversation with teachers. However, you may find that you hardly ever use an entire criterion as written. For example, "the teacher uses a variety of engagement strategies to involve all students in class discussions" is too awkward to use conversationally. So you might say, "let's talk about the engagement strategies you used to get students involved in the discussion about the causes of the Revolutionary War." The goal is not to parrot your evaluation criteria verbatim in your conversations with teachers, but to develop a rich, nuanced professional vocabulary that allows you to describe classroom evidence with great specificity. Day 16 Action Challenge: Find reusable language. Think about your last few conversations with teachers and start to identify language you may want to use again. You won't want to start taking notes until your third cycle of visits, but think through your most recent conversations, and if you sent follow-up emails or left other written comments, review them now. You may want to consider the following questions for reflection. What phrases did I use that I noticed myself using over and over? Are there any circumstances in which I would use a different salutation? What existing documents, for example, last year's evaluations, might contain language that I could save and reuse?